Welcome to Invest Like a Woman. I'm your host, Gabby Slemmer, founder of Finasana. In this podcast, we'll break down money, investing, and everything in between to help you build your money confidence and feel good about your finances. Hey guys, happy summer. It's been a couple weeks. I missed the last fortnightly update because A, it's summer and I'm busy and we're all busy and there's been a lot going on. I'm not going to touch too deeply on my personal life on this episode, but I was celebrating my bachelorette party a couple weeks ago. It was so fun. We went to Barbados and had an absolute blast and did very little work, which is exactly how it should be on your bachelorette party. And I'm obviously still planning my wedding and it's summer and enjoying time with friends and family and all of the things. And on top of that, as if I don't have enough on my plate and quite enjoy studying like a bit of a crazy person, I decided to sign up for the CFA's certificate in ESG investing. So as you guys probably know, if you've been following, I already have my CFA charter holder, which is the chartered financial analyst. It's these like three crazy exams. As I said, really like studying. I'm a bit of a weirdo. And I did that quite a while ago and kind of swore off exams for the foreseeable future. And then this past year, I got an email advertising it and thought, hey, that sounds interesting. That's something I'd like to learn more about. Why not? Let's do it. I thought I had a year to take the exam and turns out I only had 6 months. So had to do a bit of cramming over the past couple of months, but I passed. Yay. So now I'm going to use everything I learned to share it with you guys because it's actually really interesting. As I was studying, I was reading all of the material and every so often I'd turn to my fiance and be like, oh my God, did you know? And he was actually interested, which isn't that common when I'm talking about finance and investing, hopefully unlike you, dear listeners. So anyways, today we're going to talk about ESG. And if you've never heard that before, that's totally fine because we're going to get into what it means for you, what it means for the world, and everything else about the really exciting world of ESG investing. So what is ESG? ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. It is an acronym that's used to describe all things responsible investing. There's a lot of different words that are used when you talk about sustainability, responsible investing, ESG, impact investing, thematic investing, all these different types of investing that people try to pinpoint with a specific vernacular to explain how they approach choosing the types of things they invest in while also essentially doing good for the planet. It's a bit broader than that, but when you think about sustainability, the planet, the environment, helping people, all of that stuff kind of encompasses this world of responsible investing, which it's such a growing field. It's something that even though it's actually been around since the 17th or 18th century, it's really gained momentum since the early 2000s as people become more interested in having a good impact on the world and leaving the planet a bit better than they found it, which is a rising trend, especially among millennials. Younger people are way more interested in, you know, not using plastic straws and maybe eating less meat or all of these other sustainability trends. So when we think about it in regards to investing, there's a whole spectrum of investing from this, I'm just going to call the whole umbrella responsible investing, and then we'll get into the different types of ways that it can impact. So you have your conventional investing, which is focused on making a financial return by taking some level of risk. So we've talked about this risk return trade-off. So the higher the amount of risk you take, the higher your potential reward, the higher the amount that you can also potentially lose. That is conventional investing. You're purely looking at the number side of things and how likely it is that you'll be able to make a return. On the full other end of the spectrum, you have philanthropy. That's purely doing good for the planet. That is things like foundations that aren't looking for any type of financial gain. They're purely just helping people, your charities and things like that. Now, between that spectrum of conventional investing and traditional philanthropy, there's a lot of different levels that investors are calling themselves and approaches that people are taking that are both making a financial return and having a good impact on the planet. So if we start from the side of traditional philanthropy, and there's different ways that you can call these, so take this all with a pinch of salt. It's such a new and emerging field. There's so much new regulation and changes that are happening literally every day probably. And from year to year, there's a lot happening. But you have your traditional philanthropy and then you have your conventional investing on the other side. So among that spectrum, you then have social investing, impact investing, and ESG investing. And the main differences of these different types of responsible investing are the level of the impact versus return trade-off. So when you think about ESG investing, the concept is that you are considering the environmental, social, and governance aspects of a company. So there's even a whole growing body of evidence that says if you consider these additional risks in when you consider the types of investments to include in your portfolio, by the very nature, you're going to increase your investment returns and decrease the risk at the same time because you aren't investing in really risky companies with, let's say, poor governance or that are going to be overexposed to environmental liabilities or just doing something shady, really. Because you're considering all of these characteristics of the company. So to talk a little bit about ESG specifically, the E stands for the environment. So this is when you're looking at anything to do with the planet, anything to do with nature. So thinking about the natural capital, the things like our oceans, our forests, all of the things that make up the earth. And one of the biggest environmental megatrends going on right now, which probably won't come as a surprise to you if you've been following any sort of news channels or social media, is climate change. Climate change is the biggest thing that investors are looking at when it comes to not only ESG investing, but investing full stop or doing business. In certain markets, they've even have regulation that companies have to report on the level of their carbon emissions so that they can try to decrease it. There was the Paris Accord that said that we have to limit the global increase in temperatures to well below 2 degrees Celsius. So lots of companies around the world have pledged to be net zero by either 2030, 2040, or 2050, depending on the company. And governments around the world are trying to hold companies accountable, and companies are trying to hold each other accountable. There's loads of different forums. There's loads of different things that people have signed to commit, to state their commitment to net zero. And part of that is disclosing their carbon emissions, decreasing their carbon emissions, and committing to address climate change. Climate change is viewed as a major, major risk, not only for our planet, but for doing business. And generally how, within like an ESG lens, how companies approach ESG are through either mitigation or adaptation. So those are exactly what it sounds like. Mitigation is you try to prevent the effects of climate change. You try to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that your operations are putting out into the environment. That's through things like flying less, driving less, using less paper, like printing less stuff out at the office, investing in an office that has environmentally friendly practices, all those sorts of things. And also by managing who you use in your supply chain. So not necessarily doing your due diligence so that you're not choosing vendors who are pumping loads of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere that is going to contribute to climate change. And then we have adaptation, which is basically climate change is here. It's happening. How can we adapt to it? So if you live in a coastal area, maybe that's protecting your coastlines and trying to change the way you do business, or a lot of companies also who exist with the sole purpose of helping other companies adapt and mitigate climate change to make just the environment better. But when we talk about the E in ESG, the environment, climate change is definitely one of the biggest risks to companies and to the planet. But ESG investing, the environment piece of it, isn't only about climate change. It's anything that protects the planet. It's looking after things like chemical spills, resource depletion, waste, pollution, deforestation, all sorts of things that can cause harm to the company and to the planet. Now, ESG investing generally has this concept of what's a financially material risk. So investors who are exclusively focused on reducing risk via integration of ESG will look at which of these environment or social and governance, which we'll get into, which of these risks can cause them to lose money. Now, as you go down the responsible investing value chain, so impact investing or sustainability or any of these other types of non-conventional investing, aren't only looking at the risks that are causing them to lose money, but they're also looking at where they can have a positive impact and leave the world just a little bit better than they found it. And that's where you get into the more of the impact investing, which generally requires looking at a specific metric and looking to improve it and track it over time. So then we have our social, the S in ESG. Social is anything that impacts the lives of humans. This is things like human rights, modern slavery, child labor, working conditions, employee relations with one another, and anything that helps people, really. So if you think about like gender discrimination, this can come into social. If you think about poor working conditions, so a lot of fast fashion companies have a really big risky S because they export their production of clothes to countries that don't have as good human rights. So diamond industry, a lot of industries that have outsourced their supply chain to less developed nations might have quite risky R's. And then the third one is governance. And governance is really focused with how companies are managed and controlled. Governance is the one that is probably the strongest, stickiest, and most utilized component of ESG investing, because investors have been looking at governance for a long time and usually look at it regardless of whether they look at the E and the S as well. So that's looking at things like executive pay, board diversity and structure, trade associations and lobbying, bribery and corruption. So just making sure the business is run in a way that is beneficial for all stakeholders, especially shareholders. So things like gender pay gap are probably going to be a bit across both social and governance. But if we look at gender representation on the board, that's purely governance. And when we look at governance, I mean, actually, when we look at all of these factors, one of the underlying fundamentals is if you're a company that cares about improving the environment, improving human rights, improving society, and managing your corporate risks, not only from a financial perspective, but from reputational damage, brand image, and all of those sorts of things, then and particularly governance, if you have really strong policies and procedures and a board in place and have alignment and accountability with your board, then you're probably a company that's going to manage their overall risks a little bit better and be exposed to less, I keep saying risks, but be exposed to less underlying risks than a company who isn't looking at those things. So all else equal, you should be better prepared to weather a storm, you're the likelihood of you having some massive scandal is lower. The likelihood of you having to pay loads of fines and have liabilities because you had a chemical spill or something are also probably lower because you're considering the environment and everything that you do. So from an investor perspective, looking at ESG is a really popular thing. It's a really good thing. It's growing a lot. In the US, it actually recently been put into legislation that pension funds have to consider ESG risks as part of their fiduciary duty to their beneficiaries. So fiduciary, if you haven't heard that word, it's one of those like real financy words. You know what? Let's actually Google the exact definition to make it a bit easier. Let's see. Involving trust. A fiduciary is a person who holds a legal or ethical relationship of trust with one or other parties. So it's saying that you're prudently taking care of someone else's money or assets as you would your own. You have a legally obligated responsibility to consider your beneficiary's best interests at heart. So what the U.S. pension industry has said is pension trustees, the people who manage your pension assets on your behalf, you have a fiduciary obligation to consider ESG when making investment decisions. So really, really popular. So how exactly do you integrate ESG investing into your portfolio? There are a lot of different ways that you can do it. The first time that ESG investing was like a thing is in the 17th and 1800s with the Quakers and Methodists, who were following the principles of what are called negative screening, i.e. they weren't making investments that were against their ethical and religious views. But it wasn't until the 1970s that institutional investors began to follow suit and take ESG investing and responsible investing into consideration. And it was the first ethical mutual fund. Since then, it's been growing in popularity quite a bit. And today, there's so many different approaches that people take. Negative screening, when you say, I'm not going to invest in companies that emit loads of carbon, or I'm not going to invest in, let's say, oil and gas companies, or companies who have poor human rights in their supply chains, or maybe tobacco. Tobacco is a really popular one, or gambling, or other of these kind of what they call sin stocks. Or you have positive screening when you say it's kind of the opposite of negative screening. I'm only going to invest in companies who are actively making a difference in the world, whether that be through either the E, the S, or the G, or any specific things. So there's negative screening, positive screening, there's impact investing when you're kind of looking for a very specific thing that is going to improve. If you want to invest in companies with female founders or companies that are addressing climate change or any other type of sustainability metric that's important to you. Now, these are things that are utilized by institutional investors being big pension funds, big insurance companies, asset managers, banks, family offices, etc. But they're also increasingly utilized by retail investors, which are people like you and me. And there are a lot of indices nowadays that have their own methodology for ESG investing. There's, if you go on like Vanguard or MSCI or loads of other companies that put together indices, you can find index funds or ETFs that have loads of different sustainability characteristics to match whatever it is that matters to you. Or, of course, you could also consider ESG if you're choosing stocks, but you guys know how I feel about choosing stocks, so keep it to a minimum to protect yourself. And if you don't know how I feel about that, you should go back and listen to some of podcasts from last season because we go deep into it. So I've been talking for a bit now, so I'm just going to touch on one last thing that I find really interesting, and then I'll leave you guys with that for today because, you know, I like to keep these short and sweet, just like my own personal attention span. There are global megatrends that are known kind of the world over. That's exactly what global means. You're welcome for that definition. That sustainability professionals are considering and everyone's considering and the governments are giving attention to. And I found them really interesting. So I just wanted to share some of them with you guys. Climate change, obviously the big one. We spoke about it at length. Then there's just resource scarcity in general. So a lack of biodiversity. We have less plant species, less animal species, just less variety on the earth today than we did 40 or 50 years ago. Increasing waste, not having enough clean water. Then there's tech disruption. So we all know how much tech has increased in even our lifetimes. It's just increasing more and more and more. There's wealth inequality, demographic changes with an aging population, low fertility. And on the other side of the coin, even in less developed markets, population increases, but not enough food. So put very crudely, there's more of us and not enough resources to feed us. And a shift to city, which I found one of the most interesting one, is that the growth of cities are increasing and we can expect there to be a lot more places like New York and London and Paris in the future, which actually also contributes to increased pollution in these little centers. On that positive note, I hope you found this interesting. If you want to consider ESG investing into your own portfolio, a really good place to start is take a look at where you're invested today and see if there's any sustainable options. So the S&P 500 has an equivalent kind of ESG version. There's loads of information out there. So if you're interested in this stuff, I definitely recommend getting stuck in because it's fascinating. And once you start reading, it's, if you're like me at least, you go down a rabbit hole and there is so much more to learn and so much more to find out. So on that note, I'll leave you guys for today and I will see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening to Invest Like a Woman. To learn more and continue your financial wellness journey, visit us on finasana.com and follow us on Instagram. I'll see you next time.